Hey, welcome Hope Church. It is so good to be back with you today. We start a new series today entitled, Don't Worry, Be Happy, Confident Living in Troubled Times. I was thinking about a happy moment in my life. When I was a little kid, we got a QA50. I mean, just listen to what this says. From mighty to many, Honda has it all. I remember the first time I rode the new Honda QA50. Got on it, fell off the back of the seat. My hand was stuck on full throttle. And let's just say that that little ride didn't end as good as it started. Well, then I had several other motorcycles, and I finally moved up to the Kawasaki 175. I used to ride this all over the place. I remember one day we used to ride in this field by the railroad tracks, and there was a mattress. Somebody had left a mattress out there, and I rode over it a couple of times, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to put the back wheel on this mattress, and I am going to rev the beast, pop the clutch, and watch the mattress shoot up into the air behind me. I remember I was looking back, I was revving the beast, popped the clutch, and the back tire grabbed the mattress. Before I could blink, the beast flipped me upside down, smacked me into the mattress, and then took off without me. I mean, I thumped. And that was another thing in my life. Don't worry, be happy. It started a whole lot better than it ended. And I could tell you other stories where I rode and tried to do a wheelie in my driveway and hit the planter. Motorcycle fell over on me, and I still have the scar on my leg where it burnt a hole in me. The other time, I was going a little too fast and went almost through the front door, but I did crush the screen. Those are just those times where it started well, and then it didn't end quite as well. And I was thinking about, in the Bible, before Jesus went to the cross, and last week we celebrated the resurrection, but before that, think about the disciples. These guys were living the dream. I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out with the miracle worker? Oh, you're sick? Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus. Oh, that's no problem. We walk on water. Oh, you're hungry? Let's multiply the bread. Think about how awesome that would have been. Hanging out with a guy doing miracles, everybody became hugely popular, and the disciples had incredible confidence. But it started a lot better than it ended. After Jesus died, his disciples became defeated. They were depressed. They were discouraged. They were like being flipped upside down with my motorcycle and had no idea what hit them. This is what John chapter 20 says in verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The first part of that scripture, it was basically on Sunday night, and quite frankly, it had been a tough week. Remember Palm Sunday? Then they had Gethsemane. There was the cleansing of the temple. Jesus flipped over all of the tables and said, "I do not want you to make the church or my Father's house a place where you're making money. This is a place where we need to pray." They had the Lord's Supper, but remember after that they went to Gethsemane. And they were exhausted then. Matter of fact, the scripture says that they fell asleep. And then there was the crucifixion. Actually, even before the crucifixion, they had 6 trials. They were worn out. It's Sunday night. And the disciples, they were depleted. They were fatigued. And I would say for you and me, and there are some principles that I think we can apply to our own lives here. Maybe the most common cause of discouragement is physical and emotional exhaustion. Things always look worse when you're tired. Wasn't it Vince Lombardi who said this? Fatigue makes cowards of us all. When we get tired, we lose our confidence. The followers of Christ, the disciples, they were exhausted. They were fatigued, and because of that, they were discouraged. The scripture says this. It says in Psalms 119, verse 73, God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. I think sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Okay, I can see some of you who are already nodding off. Not right now. Actually, I don't get to see anybody in the church, but I can tell you this. Sometimes I enjoy watching you who are kind of spiritual, but you're so tired. And you do kind of one of these. You're looking at me, and then you kind of go like this. And then you go into deep prayer. Honestly, I don't mind. I don't take myself that seriously that I can keep everybody awake every week. And some of you are tired. And one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap. Because when you're exhausted, everything around you seems to be depleted. Hey, they were not only exhausted. They were not only exhausted and feeling discouraged and depressed, they were also having to deal with personal failure. If the fatigue wasn't bad enough, think about these disciples right now in a room, having no direction, defeated. And why is that? They felt like a bunch of losers. In Matthew 26, verse 56, this is what the Bible records. All the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. I mean, think about Peter. I don't even know Jesus. He denied him 3 times. Now Jesus is gone. These guys are feeling like failures, wondering what could they have done. They were second-guessing themselves. They're saying, you know, what went wrong? Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah. Everything was going to be great. And now he's dead. Why me? Does anybody even care? What now? You see, fatigue will make you discouraged, and failure will rob you of your confidence. It takes the wind out of our sails. It's like coming outside and realizing you have several flat tires. How many of us feel like we failed? You know, when I was younger, I don't think I feared anything. That's why I jumped on that motorcycle and took off and crashed. Got back on it and went again. My Kawasaki 175, jumped back on it, took off. But you get a little older, and when you feel like you failed, you begin to lose confidence, and you start to think, thoughts like this. It might be better not to try. Because if I try, then I could be reminded how much of a failure I am again. This is the reality of the disciples right now. At that moment, they bailed on Jesus when times got tough. Now they're stuck in their failure and they do not have any direction. Fatigue was a big problem. And things look worse. And then they started this introspection. Wow. Instead of, I failed at this, I'm a failure. And then something else creeps in. And it not only is something that they dealt with, but it's something that we can even deal with. I wrote it like this. By the way, think about the fears that the disciples were facing. The first part of that verse we read in John chapter 20, the disciples met together locked behind closed doors in fear of the Jewish leaders. They were hiding behind closed doors in fear. And why were they fearful? Well, they saw what happened to Jesus. Okay, guilt by association. The best one of us is Jesus. They killed him. Now if they find out we're part of Jesus, what are they going to do to us? I mean, they weren't really excited to see that happen in their own lives. They're already bone tired. They feel like failures. And now they're playing the what if game. Have you ever played that game? The what if game? What if I fail again? What if I get laid off? What if I never get married or this marriage doesn't work out? What if I get the coronavirus? What if I get cancer? The game of fear was not healthy for the disciples, and it's not healthy for you and me. Because fear caused them to shut themselves off from all of society. They locked themselves in a room, and life was bad. Now, I think their fear seemed somewhat reasonable. Look at what happened to Jesus. I mean, right now, I think it's somewhat reasonable that you and I have a little bit of fear, and that's why we're watching each other in isolation. What's that thing that you fear? When I'm driving and there's a police car coming, it seems like everybody slows down because they fear getting a ticket. When I get mail and it has just three letters, it makes me a little nervous. IRS. Does that make you nervous? Well, maybe not right now because people are getting this stimulus check. Fear is hard on us. Fear is hard on you. It's hard on me. It's not just COVID-19. A lot of different things. So when we look just a little bit beneath the surface at the disciples, it was Sunday night, and they were exhausted. And fatigue really has a way to make things look worse than it is. And when we think of ourselves as failures, just like they did, it brings on discouragement. It brings on depression. It makes us feel like we're kind of a big nothing. And then when you add fear to that mix, they were hidden in a locked room because life at that point was too hard to handle. And then there's this other part of the verse that is, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, I thought this was a happy moment. And I thought the Kawasaki 175 was a happy moment. But I'm going to tell you, when you look after the resurrection, after Jesus was raised from the dead, literally, the lives of these disciples changed. I mean, it was almost instantaneously. It's almost too good to be true. How can one minute they be so defeated, and the next minute they are living vibrantly and dynamic? How is it that one minute they're crushed, and the next minute they are absolutely shoulders squared back and they are confident? How is it that they are locked in a room having a pity party and the next moment they are back in society, full throttle, ready to take on the world? What changed? That's an interesting question. What is going on here that has made such a difference? There's some practical ideas wrapped up in some biblical principles that not only helped the disciples, but I literally believe can help you and me to not worry, be happy, to live with confidence, even in troubled times. What can we learn right here from those times when life throws us a curve, when things, even like right now, are so uncertain? What can we learn when we're feeling discouraged, when we're feeling defeated, when we're feeling that we have no real direction? That is exactly what we want to know. And that is exactly where we're going to go. Okay, so let's make it happen right here next Sunday morning. I can't wait, because this is exactly what we're going to be talking about. Now, before we get to next Sunday, I want to tell you this. I'm already excited. I'm already excited to talk about the things that made a difference in the life of the disciples, because it makes a difference for you and it makes a difference for me. Before we get to next Sunday, oh, I want to bless you. I want to pray for you. And I sure hope that you have a good week. By the way, Wednesday night, we have Bible study. Thursday, we go through the Lord's Prayer, and it's so exciting at noontime. Just about 20 minutes, and we pray for the needs in the church. Connect groups are starting to meet on Zoom. There are ways that we are still kind of getting together, even though we don't get to be together in person like we want to. Take advantage of those opportunities. And before we go, let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you that in the Bible there is real life. The disciples were tired, and we're, many of us are tired right now. We're fatigued, not just physically, but emotionally. God, I pray for my friends that you would encourage them. God, I have to believe that somebody watching right now has confused They have failed at something and they are failures. God, there is such a difference. All of us are going to fail, but it doesn't mean we're failures. God, would you breathe life back into us? Would you give us courage again, God? Would you help us? And God, there's that thing called fear. It made Jesus' closest followers to hide in a room, lock the door, and have no direction. They were paralyzed. We also fear, God. And God, I know some fear is healthy, and I also know some fear is not healthy. It causes us not to live like we need to and we should. I pray for my friends today, whether it's them being fatigued or, God, whoever would feel like a failure. God, for those who are just way too fearful, that you would be the source of our encouragement. God, help us not to worry, but to be happy in you, that we can be confident even in troubled times. Bring us back next week, God, that we can learn principles that will help us in this very thing. In Jesus' name, God bless you, keep you. May his face radiate about you, and may Jesus himself give you peace. Boy, I miss seeing all of you. And I can't wait until we get to hang out again in person. But until then, see you Wednesday night. See you Thursday at noon. Maybe at a Connect group on Zoom, or I will be looking for you next Sunday morning. God bless you.